like the world. And we begin to act like the world. You know, and people don't know the difference most of the time if we serve the Lord or if we don't serve the Lord.
That's right. Come on.
You know, and it's not by our words that we're speaking. It's just by how we've been taught. I'm not here to teach y'all or try to make y'all change y'all's ways. But what's happened is that we have left out the Lord.
Yes.
And so what happens is then how a man thinks is how he believes too.
That's right.
Because he's been taught. Amen. So if he's been taught something, that's what he believes. Right?
Yes.
If I was to go around to each one of y'all this morning, each one of y'all would have a different perception about life in general. And so forth. And what I'm going down to is that we have left God out. Maybe y'all haven't. You know, maybe I'm talking to the wrong people this morning. You know, when I go minister. But we, you know, you say, well, Brother Frank, how can we change that? You know, how can we, you know, the world, you know, I hear people all the time, well, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, no, we're not a handbasket. We're not going to hell. We're on our way to glory. We hope anyway, right? Amen.
Amen.
So the ways that we have been taught has characterized us and our beliefs, and we have sacrificed our own self out of the blessings of God.
Ooh.
Amen. And so how a man thinks, at first it talks about how a man has been taught, then he believes. Because first he's got to hear it, just like the word. The word's got to come in. Well, you'll be a drunk. You'll always be a drunk. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never go to college. So he begins to think that way.
That's right.
Yes.
And then he begins to what? Act that way.
Yes.
And then he feels like he can't do anything in general in life.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So he goes on to say, you know, so how a man thinks, then he believes. So it hinders the work of God, the work that the Lord's wanting to do in our lives. Now, I'm not here to teach this morning, you know, because I know Brother Ronnie and his wife do a great job here. This is not my house, so I'm not here to teach the house something. So what it boils down to, without a relationship with the Lord, we perish. Because the way that we've been taught. And we've been taught to come on Sunday, to come to church on Sunday, and pay our tithes and things like that. And of course we'll read our Bibles and stuff like that. I'm not here to condemn anybody this morning. That's not my job to clean up the church or anything. I've got too much to clean up right here. I have to look in the mirror all every day. And think, my God, is that still there? I thought I got rid of that.
Come on.
You know? My God. So without a relationship, we perish. So what happens when we perish? Unbelief comes in. Amen? Well, I knew it was that way anyhow. You know, I if the Lord cared anything about me, he would have fixed this mess.
Ooh, come on.
You know. But it's not that person's in fault. It's just that person has not been taught. Amen?
Yes.
And so the fundamentals and the foundation that people have been brought up from the generations, from as a child, we walk in what we've been taught. Now we're the example of what mom and dad taught us.
Yes.
But do we got a chance to change it? Yes.
Amen.
We have a chance to change it. So what happens is we walk around in the world trying to get something that's not there. We continuously work for something that's not there.
Yes.
And we come to some ends of journeys of life that we scratch our head. Now, what was I working for again now? And where did it go? Okay, everybody know where I'm going with this. So let's go on here in the book of Moses, the book of Exodus here. 14. Let's read a little bit in verse 21 here. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the seas to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now here it was, the children was tired of the way that they were living. Amen? How many's tired of the way they're living? Amen? A lot of us in here. We're wanting something. Amen?
Yes.
And we're looking, what we're looking for is that void to be filled in here. And you know what that void is? It's called the peace of God.
Yes.
And how can that be so simple that the Lord can give me that peace when all hell is going through in our lives? How can it just be that simple? We're looking for something greater. Don't tell me you're not.
Yep.
How can it be that simple? See, our flesh man is always wanting. Mm-hmm. Give me, give me, give me.
Yes.
Every day you wake up, you want something. Amen? So here it is. They were tired. Most of you know the story. I'm not going to get into all the story. But notice, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the seas to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. But notice, before they crossed over, there was an east and west wind that came. They couldn't cross over when the waters was just tardy. They'd been in mud. They couldn't have made it. So in the storm that you're in right now, this morning, whatever it is, there is an east and west wind blowing for you to get to the other side.
Great. It's good.
Wow. Amen? Mm-hmm. So when we don't see nothing, we don't see nothing because of our unbelief.
Yes.
And the way everybody says, it's really bad, Brother Frank. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have done that. You know, when I went through my divorce, everybody said, well, Brother Frank, I wouldn't move next door to my ex. Well, that's what everybody told me. Well, you know something? I prayed and asked the Lord what to do. And everybody was just put fear all over me, tried to get me to think all kinds of things and so forth. The long story is, the Lord said, I want you to get in your car and I want you to drive and I want you to shut up. That's what the Lord told me. You don't think the Lord would tell you that? And I started driving, and here it was. I got up here, and I'll tell some of my stories. You know, I'm writing a book now called Faith Without an End. But anyway, I got up there, and I walked in at the mobile home place. I had a piece of property. I had no money. Most of the time, 99% of the time, when the Lord tells you to do something, is when you ain't got. Because if you got it, you don't need it.
Yeah.
You'll fix it.
That's right. On the
That's right.
Yes.
And you'll make it work, and does it work? Well, we'll leave that there, won't we? Because we can do some multiplications and come out still zero. And divided by zero equals zero. So. But I went up there and looked at a mobile home. I needed $2,000 to build my decks, front and back decks, and I needed $1,000 to go out and buy beds and miscellaneous in the house, and I needed $500 for the permits, and I had none of that. None of it. And I walked in, they said, well, you know, and I looked to see what I qualified for, and I seen a small mobile home, and I thought, no, I don't want that, and I want a bigger one. And the payment wasn't that much more. And so I left because I didn't have the down payment of $6,500. So they called me and they asked me what the problem was. And I said, well, I don't have $6,500. I don't have the $500 for the permits. I don't have the $2,000 to build on the decks to put the plumbing in and do the wiring and all the other stuff that needed to be done. And they said, come see me. So I drove up there and they handed me a check for $500 to go get my permits up here at Cherokee County. For the inspection place or whatever they have to do to come out and inspect the property and all that stuff. But long story short, at closing, they wrote off the $6,500 and didn't add it on my bill. And then gave me $2,000 at closing, and then somebody sent me $1,000 in the mail to go buy all my stuff.
Praise God. Thank you.
But see, if I would have reason and listen to what everybody else, and then everybody says, well, you know, you need to build your small deck. You need to hurry up and get that boy in there. You ain't going to get that boy. And besides, Georgia law said you're not going to get your son. I'm like, man, what are you talking about? The Lord done told me. You're crazy. Well, you know, I'm not tooting my own horn, but the Lord told me that I was going to get my son, and I wanted a bigger deck, and so I cut them people off, because there's sometimes when you walk with the Lord, you've got to cut people off.
That's right.
Because they're not going to believe what you believe anyhow. Because they're living in the same way, and look at their life. They're not going nowhere. And I'm not criticizing them by any means this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. When you walk with the Lord, your unbelief will get you in trouble.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, I could have called 4 or 5 people. Well, brother, you know, did the Lord really say that? You know if the Lord told you or told you not.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Faith is not going down to the car lot and buying you a car because you've got plenty of money in your pocket, or because you got a good job, or because you're a credit's good. That's not faith. Faith is when the Lord says something that's impossible to you to get. But without that relationship from Him, if He's not speaking it, you can go down to the car lot all you want to. You're going to end up buying the car yourself and having the payment book with it.
Preach.
And when things get tough, you'll have to make the payment, figure out some way to do it, and He'll let you do it. He'll let you kick and scream. Faith is when He said that you can have it. And when times get bad and a tornado comes through and the storms get rough, He'll make the way for you to make the payment.
Yes, He will.
That's faith.
Yes.
So anyway, if you notice, they crossed over. There was an east and west wind blowing all that night long and dried up the land for them to get to the other side. But guess what happened when they got on the other side? The Bible says that He called chaos so that when Pharaoh's army started crossing over, He caused confusion. Come on now.
Yep.
Listen to what I'm saying. He caused confusion, and they said, now wait a minute, we're not going over there with them because the Lord of God is on their side.
That's right.
But notice what happened when they got on the other side. Several things happened. The enemy that was here, that had been tormenting them, could not cross over no more. I mean, get that this morning. When the seas recited back to normal, all Pharaoh's army was drowned.
Yes.
So what was tormenting them all them years?
Yes.
Could not come over.
Praise God.
That's true.
How do you know you can't deliver yourself?
Yes, amen.
You can go through all the 12 steps you want to.
Come on.
And you need to do some of it to help yourself. Come on.
Yes.
Don't look at me like you're sawing briars. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to try to help ourselves do some things by the leadership of the Lord. And if you don't really know, then take a step. Because He'll let you know when you take that step. And if you take another, you may not know everything to do.
Yes.
But He will show you. Another thing happened. He made it where they couldn't go back.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Two things. He made it where the enemy could not come and torment them no more. But He also made it where they could not go back. And that's what the Lord's doing with us now.
Preach.
He's making it where, because when they got over there, what was the first thing they started doing? They started griping and complaining.
Yes,
well, shoot, right. When I was a babe in Christ, I had everything gave to me.
Mm. Come on.
Everything was going good. And then the Lord had to come straighten us out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And He ain't done yet. He's still straightening me out. Amen. So, but it says, And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea. And even all of Pharaoh's army and his chariots were and horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and the trouble and the host of Egyptian, and took off their chariots of wheels, that they drive them heavenly, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." So here it is, same thing I just got through preaching. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters may come again, come upon the Egyptian, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaohs came into the sea after them. There remaineth not such more as much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. So in other words, in all your troubles and all your problems that you're going through this morning, there's an east and west wind blowing in the midnight hour of your trouble, and the Lord's making a way for you to get to where you're going with Him.
Preach.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn over to 1 Kings here. In 18. In verse 43. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. How a man is taught is how he believes. If he's taught not to believe it, I don't care how much you try to help that man receive Christ in his heart, he's not going to. He's not going to. Don't matter what you do, you can turn somersaults and spin on your head, you still are not going to get that man to believe. What that man's going to believe is your walk. I know there's something about that person. I can't quite put my finger on it. Mm-hmm. But he's not telling nobody, but I'd like to have what he has.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like being around him, and I don't even know why I like being around him. Mm-hmm. Our actions. So when he begins, when he's taught something, he can't receive nothing. Amen? If you taught that the plug wire goes this way and somebody comes along and says that no, it goes another way, you going to believe it?
No.
No, why? Because you've been taught. Now, my car don't have no plug wires on it. And I'm still trying to figure it out. But I've been taught it's supposed to have them.
That's good.
And I want to go buy some for it. So, well, at least I feel good about it. Well, see, ain't it funny how that we believe stuff, you know, I can't comprehend. So we have a hard time comprehending what the Lord's saying. So what happens is, I begin to think that way. Amen. How many's with me this morning? The way that we think can get us in trouble.
Yes.
Because we think things ought to be a certain way. We try to make it happen that way because we've been taught that way. So we believe that way. And when we believe that way, it drops down in our heart, in our spirit. And nobody can't tell us any different. Amen? So, but without a relationship, we hinder our own blessings. You're not hindering my blessings. You hinder your blessings because of unbelief. Not believing. And let me tell you something. This is a simple message. This is like coming to Christ. when you came to Christ, now I tell people, they kind of get a little funny with them, you know, I get them to laugh a little bit, because when I first came to the Lord, I thought everything was over with. I thought I wasn't going to cuss no more. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what the church taught us, right?
Right. Come on.
So, man, been taught. So I went to my pastor where I had been born again. I thought I was not saved. So the church that I was going to, they believed that if you was still acting that way, you was bound for hell anyhow. You was predestinated. You say, well, Brother Frank, I ain't never heard that. Well, I'll show you some churches. But anyway, I'm not against no churches. I'm not going to get to go there this morning. But I was down there, I know, every day, repenting in his office, squalling in a ball, and go out and I'd stump my toe and here come a cuss word. Well, don't look at me crazy. You've done it. You've done it too.
Be real.
Go look in the mirror and tell yourself a lie if you want to. Anyway, we're going down. You might, you know, a lot of people believe a lie. They believe their own lies. Anyway, we'll leave that in there this morning. So, anyway, let's go on to verse 43 here in 1 Kings 18. Let's go on down to 42. So Ahab, most of you know the story of Elijah. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink with Elijah. Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down the earth and put his face between his knees and said to the servants, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Now, if y'all don't know the story, it hadn't rained in 3 years. I mean, it's not been blessed in 3 years. So it hadn't rained in 3 years, and he was with a widow woman. And even the widow woman's son had died. And he told the woman, he said, "If you'll go up," and I'm paraphrasing, "if you'll go up and cook me a meal, your barrel will not come out empty and you will live," because they was getting ready to eat the last meal. And so Elijah said, "If you'll go prepare for me, your meal will not run out for 3 years till it rains," basically. So it hadn't rained yet. But here it is at the end. And Elijah was crying out. And he said to the servant, "Go now. Go up now. Look toward the sea." See, nobody's looking toward nothing. Got quiet on me. And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." People stop serving the Lord because, or they feel like the Lord has condemned them or struck them down because there is nothing. So they've stopped praying. They stop seeking God. They stop expecting the Lord. The enemy's really tried to kill you at one time and really tried to just destroy you. Even in some relationships. And I'm going to tell you something. The enemy can't have you. And even this week, you've pondered on a lot of things in your mind. And I see you at home in a chair reading some kind of a book. And I don't know if it's the Bible or what it is. And you thought, "Lord, is this really going to come to pass or not? Is this, you know, am I really, sir?" Even though I've seen some things happen. But Lord, is it really going to come to pass? And the Lord said, "I have got you in my hand. And I'm going to walk you through." Hallelujah. And I'm going to bring you out of some things. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. People stop. But he said, "Go back 7 times. Go again." Yes. People, we got to keep going again. Even though he said there was nothing, and Elijah said, "Go back again."
Yes.
And he went back again and he came back with the same report. How many has had the same report? Some of them about 7 years, sometimes maybe 14 years. Mm-hmm. Same report. Hallelujah. So, if we've been taught a certain way, we just quit, don't we?
Yep.
We'll just drop it. Well, it must be for all them other people, not for me. You know, maybe I'm not as holy as they are. Listen, people, the only thing that makes you righteous is the God that lives in you.
Yes.
That's
right.
That's it.
Thank you, Lord.
You will fall. And you will sin.
Yes.
Now an old preacher would probably look at me and tell me that and crucify me and try to hang me upside down on a cross or something. But let me tell you something. I'll bring behind the woodshed and tell them like it is. Now that doesn't mean that we don't try to live a holy life.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
If that was so, then the Lord should have never went home on the cross. Had been under conditions. Because all of us in here fail.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
But the servant said, go back. Go back and look again. And then eventually he came back and he said, well, I just want to tell you, the seventh time, the servant reported, there's a cloud.
Glory.
It's a dim light, but I can see it.
Yes.
It ain't as bright as I'd like to be able to see it, but it's dim.
Thank you.
But I'm a holding on.
Yes.
I'm going after it. Hallelujah. I'm going after it. He come back and reported there's a cloud as a man's hand. Now that's not a whole lot, is it? For the sea hundreds of miles and come back and there's just a cloud that's rising up from the sea like a man's hand. So what are you saying? Go back and do it again. Go back and look. Because it's not time to quit. Then it says on 45, he says, meanwhile, the sky, what? Grew black. And it began to rain. A heavy rain. In other words, you know, people, you know, and I'm going to just say this, I may be out of context when I say this, but, you know, I'm not with all them prosperity ministers. Don't get me wrong, I like driving in my new car and what have you. But I'm going to tell you something, you go in these third world countries where they ain't got no water, no running water, toilets, refrigerator. And they're picking the food out of the garbage dump.
Yes.
And why don't you go over there and preach some prosperity to them?
Amen.
Reason why you won't is because you'd get hung.
That's right.
Amen. Tell the truth.
Real.
You know, and I'm not here downgrading anything. The Lord wants to bless us. And you know, we're living in a country now, you know, that we're blessed. We're a blessed people.
Amen.
And but yet we gripe and complain because we ain't got it all, know it all. You got a whole lot more than what you think you got.
That's right.
You're blessed a whole lot more than what you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something. I've had it. I've had the diamond rings. I've drove in the Cadillacs. I've been on television and preached before. I've had all that. That's great. That's wonderful. I wasn't as big as them other people. And I wasn't trying to be. And still don't care to be. The only thing that I'm after is Him. Because without Him, I'm nothing.
Amen.
And it requires to all of us. Without Him, we are nothing.
Yes.
And the only thing that makes us righteous is Him that lives within us. Go back and look again. Amen? Hallelujah. So, the Lord is on your side. Amen? He hasn't left you. Amen? He hasn't left us desolate and without. Amen? And guess what? He wants somebody. He's looking for somebody that ain't got nothing.
Yes.
Because then he can teach them.
Amen.
Well, that's what happened when they come looking for David. When all of them came around, they was looking, no, you ain't showed me all your sons. You know, no, but he's the one out there in the field tending the sheep. He you know, that's all he knows how to do. So they brought out the best ones. No, you must be mistaken, but the word says, we're not sitting down till you go get him. So in other words, he's chose us. Amen?
That's right.
He's chose us. Amen. Out of all people, he's chose us to do the work of the Lord. Amen. You know, the problem is that we're looking in the mirror too much. And we're looking at what we can do, what we should do, what we could have done, should have, would have. And we don't feel like that we're anything. Amen?
Yes.
And that this is it. This is the end. You know. And all this is for everybody else. And not for me. Well, it's for you. Because the Lord wants to bring you out from where you are and show you who you are and what you're going to be. Amen?
Amen.
But let me tell you something. If we was looking for all the DDs, we'd be in trouble. When I go into the orchestra up here at Reinhardt College, all them people up there have been playing for years. I've only been playing for 2.5. I might hurt your ears on some of them things I play. I really do get my dog howling. Right, see, we got a good tune. So, and he said that we'd be rejected by what? Men. But who are you going to believe? Amen? Who are you going to believe? What report will you believe? Amen. I'm coming to a close. What report will you believe? Will you believe your own report? Will you believe your own report? And a lot of people, they do. They look at what they have in their bank account. I remember when the Lord told me I was going to get blessed with a new truck. And I said, Lord, there's nothing wrong with my truck. And I was laughing and telling the Lord, you know, and I was in there, I'd lost my Bluetooth and a couple years ago, and I was in there praying, and I was going to rent my room out, you know, and I thought, Lord, I need some more money, you know, and I'm in there praying and sobbing before the Lord in that empty room in the bed, and I'm on there anointing it, and, you know, woo, hallelujah, you know, we ain't got nobody here like this, either, so y'all don't act like me. Okay, I'm the only one. And I'm in there, and the Lord speaks to me, and he said, well, aren't I enough? What do you do? And then he speaks to me, and he says, well, in 3 days I'm going to bless you with a Bluetooth, and I'm gonna give you a new truck. And I started to say, well, Lord, there's nothing wrong with my truck. This is the truck I've prayed for since I was 16 years old. You've blessed me with it, the Dodge Cummins motor. You know, the Dodge that's got the diesel motors in it. And I was in there, and I go out there to crank it up. I was going to move a trailer out in Ackworth to help somebody, and the truck wouldn't crank.
Yeah.
It's always crunk up. I call Brother R.L. He comes over, looks at it, and he said, Brother Frank, you're out of fuel. And I said, you mean to tell me I drove all the way from Holly Springs home with no fuel? So we went and got put fuel in it. And I ain't let there sit there and let it idle because I like letting that blower cool off on it, if y'all know what I'm talking about on the diesel. Well, R.L. comes back over and he said, well, Brother Frank said, your fuel pump's gone. Now, here it is. I said, no, wait a minute. I have drove all the way home from Holly Springs with no fuel pump and no fuel, but yet I cut it off with it running underneath the shed. Well, I didn't even have the money to buy a fuel pump, and I started praying. I got all my coins up. We ain't got nobody in here like that, do we? To save all the nickels and dimes. So I raked and scrounged and got one up, and then this thing come in the mail from Bill Holt or something and said you won, sent a lottery. Well, I had to go pick up a lottery ticket. So I went down here in Canton and went over there. I had barely enough money, but the filter on the thing was bad, and I had to buy some kind of electronic piece, which was going to be about $65. And I thought, well, Lord, how am I going to get that? And so I go down there, and right next door to the Chrysler place here was that place, that Chevrolet place across the street from Walmart. I walked over there. They gave me a lottery ticket. I scratched it off. What, Brother Frank, you do that? And don't tell nobody. And I won $10 10 times. And I didn't even know if I won because I never played them. I didn't know. So I went down to the racetrack. And they said, well, you won $50. You want your money? And I said, well, yeah, I want my money. Just like that. So I got my money, went back up there and bought my part. He's always on time.
Yes, he is.
Always on time with everything that's happened in my life. And I can go on with stories after story. And when he told me I was going to get a new truck, you know, I had $7.77 in my bank account. And I wrote it down. I write my stuff whenever the Lord tells me on an index card. And I wrote it down and laughed about it. Put ha ha and pinned it up on my kitchen wall. Yeah, we're going to see this and come to pass. You in the flesh. Come on. Don't look at me like I'm like that. So see, I went down. Long story short, I went down. Started looking. Everything I looked at wasn't what I wanted. One of them got 11 miles to the gallon. I didn't want that. I want one I could drive. One that I could ride down the road and still keep my lights on. And eat two at the same time. I had to go to churches to get food. Got some witnesses in here, don't I? So but I'm going to tell you something. Sister, I'm going to tell you that the Lord is going to help you. There have been some things, some struggles, some stuff, and a void. The Lord's going to help you. There's a void He's going to put in here. He's going to fix that void. Amen. And some things for you. Because at times it's been real difficult for you. You talk sometimes, but you don't tell everybody everything that's going on sometimes. And, well, I'll tell you about it later when we get into the service. But the Lord's really going to help you. You know, hallelujah. Because you really want what God wants in your life. Amen. 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 And the Lord's going to open up some of your understanding because sometimes you believe a lot of things, but sometimes it's hard for you to believe in some things. Amen. Amen. So, anyway, when you walk with the Lord, not everybody's going to believe everything that you're doing. Amen?
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to believe what you're doing. Because a lot of people, they don't have the same dream you have. Amen? Now, if I told people, well, I make $12,000 a year and I'm going to get me a brand new truck, they'd laugh at me. Amen? If I looked on pen and paper and done all the calculations of everything and what everybody has said, then my thoughts would be, don't buy that truck. Well, I went down and I did buy a truck, and I knew when I bought it that it wasn't the Lord. Drove it home and I called the man back and I told him that I'd made a mistake. And he said, well, bring it back the next morning. Of course, I prayed and had some other people. I mean, when you buy something, it's yours. You sign the paper, it's yours. And I went down there the next day and told them. And the financial man that was in there, he told me, he says, well, there's a problem here because you've already signed the papers. Well, I'm not doing nothing. And one of the owners stuck his head in there and he said, do we need to get another financial man in here today? He started ripping up my contract. So, favor of God. I'll tell you this one last story here in close. I mean, I got them all the way up to here. From things that the Lord does for me. But you know, when you go to start praying for things, God will supply the things that you need, plus He'll give you the desires that you want. How's that possible? The Bible says in Psalms 37, commit your ways unto me, and I'll even give you the desires of your heart. Amen. It's when you make Him a God, it's when He starts stripping you. Amen. When they become first in your life, that's when things start subtracting. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on here. I thought I had $100 here. Mm-hmm. Next week, man, I had $100 left, and I got $25. And then before the week, I got $1. You know, so you can do the adding and subtracting real easy, real quick like, because he knows what he's doing. He wants to be first.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? He wants to be first in your life. And if he's not first in your life, then he will take what you have. Amen. When you make it a God. Amen. But I remember years ago I had this old 63 Mercury Comet. And I had put a beautiful paint job on it. Done all the work on that thing. And every morning during the spring, I just had it painted. And the pollen was getting on. I didn't have a cover for it, so I would spray it off with the water hose before I'd go to work. That was my prayer time. So when I done that, the Lord spoke to me in about 3 weeks. He said, I want you to give the car away. And I said, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. And so I ended up about 2 months worth of not sleeping at night, giving the car away. And I was even holding on to the key when I gave it to the person. But the Lord told me to give it away. 6 or 8 months rolled around. That man drove back up in my yard and he said, Brother Frank, I don't know exactly what this means, but the Lord told me to tell you that you learned your lesson. And handed me the keys back. Well, the car didn't have no value to it no more to me. It wasn't, the value of that car was not like when I had it painted or anything, because it just didn't have any kind of value to me anymore. And the Lord will do that, not to hurt you or to harm you or any way, but to let you know that He is God.
Amen.
Amen. And that He cares for you and that He loves you. Amen. And He knows what's best for you. Amen. He knows what's best for you. A lot of us, we think we know what's best for us. So, do I need to say that again? And we'll argue. No, no, no. It ain't that way when it really is that way. Amen? When it really is that way.
Yes.
Amen? So anyway, go back and look again. Amen? Because He's not done. How many has enjoyed it this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just lift our hands toward the Lord this morning. I can't make the Lord work unless He wants to do something. Amen. Father, we just come to You this morning, Lord. Lord, just thanking You, Lord. Hallelujah. How many feels His presence here this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for moving, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for touching people, Father, Lord, here. Lord, help them with their unbeliefs, Lord. Help them be awakened by the Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, that they'll be able to see, Lord, what's not there, Lord. Hallelujah, because, Lord, we need Your will. We need Your way, Lord. We need Your understanding. Amen. And Father, we give You the praise and the glory and the honor in all things. Amen. I'm going to say this one last thing. I remember years ago, this woman coming up to me and jabbing her finger into my chest. And this is for somebody this morning. And she said, do you know Jesus? And I said, yes. She said, no. She jabbed her finger in my chest again. She said, do you know Jesus? And my reply was, well, yes, I've been born again. She said, no. She went again. Do you know Jesus? Yes, I've been baptized in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. She said, no. I said, well, I speak in tongues. She said, whoop, did I scare somebody? She said, no. She said, you don't know Jesus. I went home that evening and started praying. and asking the Lord about some things. And I said, no, wait a minute, Lord. I said, Lord, I know the Scriptures from front to back. I got them memorized. And the Lord spoke to me when I was in there praying. And I was talking to Him and He said, you have man's wisdom. You have man's understanding. You have man's counsel. You have man's meekness. But you lack all of mine. You lack all of mine. But Lord, see, I can hear Him talking to me. But Lord, if we're not careful, so as a man's been taught, so he thinketh. See, I can give you Scriptures on everything, but what's the Spirit saying about to you about the Scripture?
Come on. Yes.
I mean, if you want to get technical about it, in Mark 16, He says, any deadly thing you drink shall not harm you. Let's go get some cyanide and see if it'll harm you. Come on. Be real. I had this one woman tell me one time, well, you know, she was sitting beside me and some other people, and they would say, oh, did you see that spirit on so-and-so? And I said, you know something, since you're so spiritual, why don't you go pray and cast that devil out instead of telling us about it?
Come on. Yeah.
You know? Since you know all these things, you're seeing all these things, why don't you go over there and lay hands on what it is? You're afraid it might get on you because you don't know. Come on, be real, walk with the Lord. And I'm not trying to be critical about everything, but you know, we limit God, our own self, from Him blessing us because of all the things that we think we know when all the time we don't know nothing.
Amen.
The only thing I know is what He tells me.
Yes.
Amen? Otherwise, I don't know anything else. And I'll tell you something, I had a dream the other day. And a lot of people were looking at me crazy. And this was about ISIS. And I seen 21 troops. And each one of those 21 had 400 assigned to each one. And they were abducting the young children. Not the older ones. Well, Brother Frank, you better watch what you're saying. Well, I'm telling you. What I seen was they was in a courtroom. The children was, and the parents was in there. And if the children did not do what they said, they shot the child and let the parents go to live in distraught. The Bible says that we'll mourn in the last days. Amen. I went and talked to a friend of mine that's in the Marine Corps. He grabbed a hold of my arm when I told him. He said, who told you that? And I said, well, I had a dream. He says, no, who told you that? See, we got things we don't know what's going on right now. Unless the Spirit of the Lord reveals things to us. He said, well, that can't happen here. You know, well, he said, it's already here in Georgia. Well, you can believe it or not if you don't want to. That's up to you. That's up to your discretion. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord knows what's going on. And the people that are in tune with the Lord, and I remember the Lord telling me 10 years ago to go buy a gun. And I thought, Lord, I'm not buying a gun. I'm scared of a gun. And I was around my apple tree out there, and I had canned up about 1,500 quarts of jars. And the Lord said, in the days to come, it won't even be enough to sustain you. So I'm assuming I'm going to be helping people. So I wouldn't buy a gun. I kept praying and asking the Lord, I am not buying a gun until you tell me. And 6 months rolled around, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, I'm going to cause animals to come up to your house and so you'll be able to shoot them and eat. Now, I don't know about you. I couldn't have thought. I didn't think that way. Some of y'all in here may be hunters, but I don't hunt. So I wouldn't know. If I killed it, I wouldn't even know how to dress it anyway. I guess I'd have to learn, you know, because I know there's a certain way you have to do all that stuff. But I can things. I can just about anything you put around me. As far as shooting something and killing it and trying to put it up, I couldn't do it if it saved my life. But I guess I'd learn. But I'd have to eat it up real quick. But I hope y'all have enjoyed it this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for having me, guys. Brother
Bertrand.